This week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proudly sponsored by Mizuno. Tune in later for our review of the all-new Mizuno Wave Rider 25. Mizuno have packed in a heap of exciting updates to their running range lately, so to check them out, visit mizuno.com.au or you can find them at selected stores. Welcome to episode number 183 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show coming to you. Just looking at this agenda with tonight's show notes, and there's plenty to get through. A few controversial issues. Looking forward to discussing all things running, as always, with Julian Spence, Dan Anglesey. How are you going this week?
Going fine, thanks, mate.
That's good. And Bradley Croker up in Canberra. How are you going?
Not too bad, Brady. I am having a look at this agenda. We might need our lawyer friends to help us out this week.
I did just say to Zaka, who does do a bit of work behind the scenes, that episode 183 could be the last. It could be the last if we're Patreon only for now on. That's because we've been sued and we've got to go behind a paywall. So, yeah.
Let's hope not.
Well, we've done a bit of research for this stuff, though, haven't we? The controversial stuff, which is good for us.
I don't think it's that controversial, really. It's just facts. You're just going to be spitting some facts.
Yeah, that's the stuff we say after the fact, but we start putting our opinions in that usually gets us in trouble, though.
No one ever has had an opinion on this show before.
Yeah, exactly. Moose, we're going to you first, I think, this week. Tell us about your training week from last week, Monday through to Sunday.
Yes, so after Sunday, which comes Monday, I got out for a run with Ali and Bree. Bree had a great run, actually, very fast. Towards the end of the run, I started to feel a little bit of a niggly Achilles because I still had a really bad blister on the outside of my little toe. And that, I think what happened was it changed my running gait. And so for some reason, I was loading my Achilles more. That's my explanation for it. Anyway, that's my cause factor. So I started to get a bit niggly around about like the 10K mark, and then finished, did some drills and strides, and that afternoon I wasn't really too concerned about it. I thought it would just improve. And then that next day ran 8K or so down in Aries with Ali, and it was sort of there from the start and it didn't really go away.
How high up, Moose? Like right on the heel or a bit higher?
Right in the middle of the Achilles, so right in the guts of the tendon, mid portion, they call it.
And not good, I'm not a physio, but is it true that it's not good if it gets worse as you run?
I've heard
people say like it's hard when you get out of bed in the first K, but then it comes good and everything's fine. But I don't have that.
No, I get out of the bed, no awareness. I can run. So this week, like the first almost 20 minutes of most runs, I have no awareness, and then it slightly comes on, gets to about 3 to 4 out of 10 pain scale and stays like that, and then disappears within half an hour of finishing. So it's a little bit not like non-traditional compared to normal Achilles. Like you describe it getting better, that's a traditional sort of Achilles response, I think, when a tendon almost warms up into the run. But this one's a little bit different. So on Tuesday morning, I ran 10K, and I was planning on running that afternoon as well, but I decided against it. So I had Tuesday off, Tuesday afternoon, and my little toe was still giving me a heap of grief in every shoe that I've got. And I thought, if my toe's that bad, then it will probably make me change my gait even more and not help me at all. So I decided to take Wednesday off, not really because of my Achilles, but because of the blister that I had. And Thursday morning, tried to hit a flat loop. So Ali and I, Bree was there too. We drove up to the top, to the chocolate factory, and then ran along the ridge line that's on the very top of Anglesey that runs down towards Bells Beach. So we ran 6K out and back on that. That was okay. The Achilles started to get sore about 25 minutes in, but didn't get worse. And yeah, ran that evening with Ali. She had a little niggly hamstring, actually, so she decided to take Friday off. We were both kind of complaining about our injuries. The next day, ran Anglesey 14K. Good loop. Yeah, not sure what the loop is. I haven't clicked into it, but Achilles was there, but got through it. And Saturday morning, again, jogged in the morning, 8K, and then jogged from the store that evening. So before I left, had a couple of Ballarat lads run with me. Got some new shoes, New Balance Moors, the third version. So they're a maximal shoe. Thought they might help the Achilles. They're real comfy, but they didn't help the Achilles too much. But it wasn't really bothering me too much. Next day, did 30K long run. So this was sort of the only harder workout I did for the week. I did have more planned, but I didn't want to do it because of the Achilles. So this workout was 20K easy. And then I would change shoes and go into a really gentle marathon workout. So it was 5 by a K, and a K on, K jog. The directive for the K on was to sit at around 5 to 10 beats below threshold, to sort of mimic marathon effort. That's what I aimed to do. And the K jog was a jog, so it was around 4 to 4 minutes 30. So it was a very easy workout. Now, this was adjusted for me for two reasons by Ali. The first reason was I've had some really nasty workouts go pear-shaped lately, and so we just needed to get one on the board, get the confidence back, and feel good about running fast again, or to do it, feel good about a workout again. Sort of remove the anxiety and the like negative association with workouts. I want to get back on the good side of workouts again. So this was a really gentle one to ease back into it. And the second one was the Achilles. We didn't want to do too much on the Achilles, as it wasn't 100%. So I did this along Jarosite Road. If anyone looks at the map and they're into their surfing or even their film history, Brad, you can see Bell's Beach down there.
Yep, got a few comments. A few people enjoyed our point break banter.
Carly enjoyed it, she said.
Yeah. Utah, give me two.
The funny thing is, when you watch the movie, that's not Bell's Beach. That's like, it looks like some joint in fucking Canada or something.
Oh, actually, it's in, I think it's in Oregon.
Yeah, it looks like that. Like the big pines and stuff, and the rocky. So it's not Bell's Beach at all. But this road leads down to Bell's Beach. And then so I turned onto that, then on Addiscott, and then down Bones Road into Bells Road, like a lollipop type loop. I felt really good. I felt good running fast again. I had Bree on the bike with me, so she was cruising along. Like, the workout was not stressful, so it was really easy. Like, by the time a K came along at that intensity, it's just, okay, start jogging again. Almost disappointed that I couldn't keep rolling. So I think for the sort of K splits, let me just look at what they were. I got, so they were 309, 319.
Nah, you're all in a difference. Yeah.
That's wrong.
You did 90 minutes easy to start off with at 4:31, and then I've got here 3:13, 3:13, 3:18, 3:20, 3:20. We're going to 4:10 in between.
That's a bit strange. I thought that, like, on my Coros app, we shouldn't mention Coros because we're going to talk about them later. But if I go onto my Coros lap and look at the lap splits, it's pretty similar, actually. It's about that. So
we just heard his confidence here, Brad. Yes. It's meant to be a confidence booster, this one.
thought he was running 303s.
Yeah. Pace wasn't... I'm going to get rid of Strava and tell everyone around 303. No, Garmin... I mean, sorry. Pace wasn't showing on my watch. I was just going to heart rate. So I... whatever. Pace was irrelevant. But yeah, got it done and then didn't do a second run. So overall... what did I hit for the week? Like 108, 109. So that's sort of two interrupted weeks in a row. One with the cortisone in the knee. And then actually my knee felt amazing this week. Like the cortisone hit, I reckon, probably like Monday, Tuesday. And all of a sudden my knee was not clicking anymore and I don't even notice it when I'm running. I can squat now without any pain. So that's worked. That's been a big help in getting my mobility back. And it's just disappointing this Achilles has come on.
Oh, go get another hit. Go get another jab.
Oh, mate, I was like, Monday night, I'm like, oh, who can I call for a jab right now?
Well, I had a jab in the sheath of my Achilles like 2 days before we went to Berlin. And it worked wonders. Like, I should have had it 6 weeks. Like if I had it when I first got the injury, I would have been okay for Berlin because I haven't had an issue with it ever since.
Yeah, but didn't... Oh, I guess...
It's different though. Mine was... Yeah. I think mine was tendinopathy of like... It was in the sheath more so than the Achilles, I think. Yeah. From the rubbing, I think. Rubbing on the shoe.
Yeah, were you getting your pain in the mid portion?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all my Achilles pain's always been mid portion.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, do you have to get a scan to see the actual inflammation?
Yeah.
Moose, what do we got? 9 weeks yesterday at Gold Coast. You'd want to string the next, like, no more interruptions from here on in?
Oh, it's already too interrupted to start aiming for PBs, that kind of thing. It hasn't gone how I needed it to go, probably from the last, like, 6 weeks, to be real.
Too early to call that, though. I've still got you winning it. Too early. You can get fit quick. Don't worry about the last 4 weeks. Worry about the last 4 months.
That's what I mean. Like, it hasn't been a great last 4 months.
Huh. It's been all right, hasn't it?
I had that knee issue. I've had a few things going on. Anyway.
Is the Achilles worse today than it was last week?
No, it's not.
That's a good sign.
The best sign... Well, Ali thinks the best thing about it is I can finish running... And I can be basically pain-free walking around within 30 to 60 minutes. And then it's not pulling up worse the next day. I think that's a sign of, like, regression. That's when you need to start backing your load off a bit more. But I've already... This month has already backed off, like, the plan. The loading plan's backed off based on what it's like right now.
Moose, and cut the back out of your shoes.
Will not... Maybe that... I don't think that's not what's causing it. I mean, I thought about running barefoot. I know you'd love that.
But when I had my issues in 2017, I could run barefoot with no pain whatsoever. It was just when there was pressure on the back of my Achilles that was causing pain. So I'm not sure if yours is the same.
I don't think I have that. No, I don't think so. I mean, it might be worth sort of booking in for a scan just to make sure of that, which I always love finding out stuff rather than just sitting waiting wondering. And I've got to follow up with the sports doc about my knee next week, so I might just sort of ask him about the Achilles while I'm there, whether we can get a scan and we can have a look at it. Anyway,
well, keep tuning in every week. So how are you going?
Yeah. What injury next week?
Because what was it? Knee? No, it was knee and then the jab, though. And so it's only been the two injuries, but the jab was kind of time off in between.
And the knee was a big one too, like how bad it was before the race.
Probably. Oh,
worst case scenario, Moosh, you get a nice beach holiday in Noosa.
When's
that?
Well, I'll be training with Ali while she's there. But the very worst is that, the very, very worst is that I'm just on the bike actually coaching. But a medium outcome would be I run her workouts with her. And a good outcome is that I can do all my training injury free. But even a middle option, I can run a lot of workouts with her and then adjust it late in the workout for me, like do a little bit more or finish a bit faster, that kind of thing. But with how she's going, like her fitness level is as high as it's ever been. So like we're slowly getting closer together in terms of fitness or marathon fitness. I'm creeping up, she's creeping down. So some of our workouts would link up, I reckon.
Bradley Croker, tell us about your week.
All right, so I ended up having a decent week. It was a pretty slow start just coming off my sickness. So I went and did gym on Monday morning because it was a public holiday here for Anzac Day. And then that afternoon, just got out for my two laps of Mulligan's, 420s. Tuesday, I still wasn't feeling like amazing. So I decided not to go out to the track on the Tuesday night and just do another run. So I did the same loop as I did on the Monday, but 429s this time around. Took the Mizuno Wave Rider 25s for a test run, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then by Wednesday, I was actually starting to feel pretty good. So I did the first lap of Mulligan's pretty controlled, and then over the last 5K, I just sort of gradually wound it up. Like nothing crazy, sort of went from 4-minute Ks down to 3:40s, and so ended up averaging 4:08s for that hour, and yeah, just felt like I was moving really well. And the last couple of weeks, like my body's just like, other than hobbling out of bed with my Achilles, which has been that way for 15 years, like I'm actually moving well again. Like I feel poppy across the ground, so really sort of enjoying my running at the moment, which is good. Considering how long it sort of took to get to this point. Thursday, just the one run, just like 10.7K, 4:17s. And then I wanted to do a session on Friday because I decided not to do Sydney 10. I thought, I'll just go and do a tempo. So I ran from home down to Yerribee Pond. Didn't really have a lot of expectation. I thought, I'll start around 3:30s and just see how I feel. So it ended up being a bit of a progression run, really. So I started off at 3:27s, worked down to 3:10s, averaged 3:19s. For me, it was probably more, I felt like I was moving well. It was probably more of a mental thing. You sort of realize when when I was marathon training, like this stuff would have been like bread and butter. You do 2x8K off a K float, whereas because I haven't been doing that long tempo stuff, you get to 20 minutes of a threshold and you're like, oh, this is a bit of a grind, like just to sort of keep the tempo going. But then you get to sort of 5 minutes to go and you're like, oh, I'm almost done, I feel good again now. So it's probably a bit more mental training than physical. So that was 3:19s.
Great progression though, every K you got quicker, nailed it.
Yeah, so I think also I didn't really give myself much. So I warmed up, I pretty much went to the toilet, did like one stride and then got going. So when you sort of don't do too many strides, it's always going to be a little bit slower to start with. Then Saturday did a double. So I did 14.5 in the morning at 4:14s, 8.5 in the arvo at 4:13s. And then Sunday, I got a text from Jimmy Barker Saturday afternoon saying, are you running tomorrow? Looking for about 2 hours. I can come out your way. I'm like, yep, 8 o'clock, sound okay. And we ran together maybe a month. I was around Easter and we did like 1:45 at 4:04s. And I was going to message him that afternoon saying, yep, but it probably won't be as fast as it was a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, we get out of the car and he's wearing his Zoom Flies. And Jimmy just loves a quicker long run. So we sort of got rolling. Yeah, he does.
That's unheard of up there, Canberra way.
Yeah, but it was
7K, 3:45.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable run. So like the first 10 minutes for me was a little bit rough just because it's like 4:29, 4:16s up the hill, 4:01 down. But then once we got to the seventh K, which is downhill, it was like 3:45, 3:49, 3:46. And I remember saying to him at about sort of 40, 50 minutes, I'm like, we're already averaging like 4-minute Ks now. Let's just sort of like not keep this going, because it's like I feel really good now, but I know that 20 minutes from an hour 40 to 2 hours, when you've sort of just been running, I guess, steady state for quite a while, becomes a bit rough. But the second half of the run is like a lot flatter than the first half. So I popped a gel at about 80 minutes just because I'm like, well, you know, I want to pull up from this pretty well. We ended up averaging, 3:55s for 2 hours, so 30.6K. Felt like at the end of it, I actually felt really good. Like probably the best I've felt on a long run. As I said, like before, just in terms of how I was covering the ground, like just hips were good, back was good, hamstring was good. Weather was amazing. It was like 10 degrees, no wind. So that was my week. It was 127K for the week. Yeah, so.
Good week. Hey,
heart rate up though.
Yeah,
heart
that looks pretty accurate too, doesn't it, that graph? 150 for your long run?
Heart rate right there.
The heart rate is not correct. Because if you look, so if you, well, all right, if you're going to say the heart rate's correct, you have to go through every single run that I do and say that that's correct, because it's all wrist heart rate.
Wouldn't it come up and go open your threshold run now, your 30-minute progression, see what it says for there?
Yeah, probably 140.
Yeah, 141.
So if you're going to tell me,
These lines and this graph is like all over the place. But whereas the long run one is just like consistent, picked it up.
Yeah. Oh, look, my heart rate was high. It was like, you know, it was one of those runs where it's, yeah, like we were still chatting for most of the run, but you know, it's no different to when I was pacing Sean. Like I was running 3:45s or, you know, 3:40s, and I can talk to him during that. So like we're still able to chat, but it's a solid long run, which I think for me, once a month I'll probably do like a solid long run.
Now, a couple of weeks ago you're on the show saying you need to race more, and that's a thing you want to address. Obviously you got sick, so you couldn't do Sydney 10, but have you got something else you want to do, something in the next couple of weeks?
Not really, no.
Yeah, so you're falling back in those old ways, got to get something.
Yeah, I don't really have too much. I'm enjoying running. I don't really have the urge to race. Like I probably, you know, based on how I felt on Sunday, like I could have done Sydney 10. But it's more just motivation to do it. You know, is it worth giving up a weekend? So like I drive up here Saturday afternoon, stay the night, don't get home till Sunday afternoon. For me to basically know that I'm going to run somewhere between 30 minutes and 31 minutes. Like it doesn't, you know, like when I was younger, it used to excite me going to races, thinking that, oh, I might pop out something amazing here. Whereas now I pretty much know where I'm at and what I'm going to run, and it just doesn't have the same appeal.
You know what you need, mate? You need to get in a team, a cross-country team. Like, get you up and about. Get you back in the bat singlet.
All right, tell us about your week then. Tell us about your team.
I'm serious.
Like you've gone on about this.
Tell you what, there's a bit. The lid is off, hey? The lid is off, Bendigo Bats. I'll talk about that when I get to Saturday. But seriously, Croaks, it really brings the motivation back when you're part of a team. It's more than just yourself. Know what I'm saying?
True.
Yep. Very true. Monday, give me 2 seconds, I've got to find this. I wasn't prepared for the quick changeover then. Easy in strides. That's right, I come off being sick as well, so I hadn't run fast for like a week and a bit. So I just did some strides on Monday, 13.5K, average 4:26. Monday afternoon, 30 minutes, nice and easy, 4:34. Tuesday was the first workout I'd done in a while, so did 8x1K. Kind of did them solo because Archie was a bit too quick for me. It was kind of the first, because I had the week down after Canberra, and then I had, and then I got sick for pretty much a week. So I'd only done one workout in something like 14, 15 days, and this was just a bit of a shock to the system doing a workout. Average like 2:58, but it just felt a bit too hard, and I just had to let Archie go. And I just kind of did them at my own pace, 90 seconds off. Good to get them done, but always find that first workout post-sickness, it just kind of, yeah, perceived effort's a bit higher than probably what it should be. Easy 30 minutes in the afternoon. And then on Wednesday, I did 70 minutes just before work, 15.2K at 4:37 average. Had a kind of, I wore the older New Balance, is it TC Racer Moose? No. What was the one where you got the green ones?
RC Elite.
I wore those, and obviously I've been in the super shoes, and then I jumped back into those things, which are still got a super shoes, but then I pulled up with like sore calves. And I'm like, oh, just way too precious not using, you know, kind of lower stack shoes for session. So I was a bit sore on Wednesday there. Easy at 35 minutes in the afternoon. Pulled off the old daily double where you run the same pace in the morning as you do in the afternoon without looking at your pace, just on stopwatch face. So I averaged 4:37s for both those runs. So that's always exciting when that happens. Thursday morning, did a little workout. We did like a 4K tempo at about like, oh, I think it was like 3:28 pace average. And then we just punched 4 minutes, a 4x1 minute fast, 1 minute easy, just to tick the legs over before Saturday. Couple of easy jogs on Friday. Jogged with your mate Hutchie, actually, Moose. He was up here from the Surf Coast Track Club, having a weekend away. So met up with him on Friday night for an easy 30 minutes. And then, yes, Saturday morning, woke up super excited to go down to Melbourne, just over three hours drive to Gels Park at Wheelers Hill there for the first round of Athletics Victoria cross-country road racing season, 10-race season. Bendigo Bats, we had a really good team. I was running the fifth leg, so we had Andy off first, then Archie went second, and then we've got these two identical twins, Matt and Ned Buckle, who are about, oh, I'm going to say they're 19, so it was their first run in the open team there, and then myself, and then Nathan Stoat, who I train with a bit. He's from Cobram Baruga. He was our sixth runner. We were talking big game because we thought we could smoke up most of Div 2 teams, and then we thought we might give a couple of Premier Division teams a bit of a run for their money as well. Andy got us off the best cross-country runner in Australia to an amazing start, got us, caught all the Premier boys, got us in front. Archie had a good run, and then yeah, everyone just ran, like, other than Andy, the rest of us were in within like 20 seconds of each other. When I got it, we were, yeah, a couple minutes ahead of Div 2 and in third spot overall. And yeah, I kind of ran pretty even. I stuffed up Gels Park many of times and blown up after that first lap. Actually changed the course this year, Moose.
Yeah, tell me the changes.
Yeah, so you know you used to go up that one big long hill at the start?
Yeah.
Halfway up the hill, so pretty much just where you start, you pretty much turn right straight away. So, yeah, so the hill was half the size, but then you drop down for that kind of first K, which you always... So you don't go around that playground anymore up the top.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you still went... You still... But instead they replaced it with... another uphill, so you kind of just stayed on that side of that course, I guess, but instead of just going up along and then dropping down and then coming back up, we kind of went down, up, down, up, down, up, if that makes sense. So you probably still had the same elevation gain, and it was really kind of I like this better because you got to see the crowd so much more. Like, it was really condensed where they found 3K. Like, there was a lot of kind of like straight up, do a Yui, back down, do a Yui, back up, do a Yui. And it was kind of confusing when you're running it. And as, like, I did the fifth leg, so there's a lot of traffic, you'd know from these AV relays in those later legs when you're lapping teams and things like that. Like, it's quite hard to concentrate on where you're going and see the flags and then pass people and things like that. But yeah, I ran 19 minutes and 6 seconds for the 6K. And then, handed over to Nathan, and he ran like 18:40. He was like our second fastest guy.
You happy with that time?
Not really. I didn't look at my watch at all. I ran the second lap 4 seconds. Second lap 4 seconds quicker than the first lap. And I think it was an interesting one because when you're, like, I saw a lot of guys around my ability kind of running like 18:30, 18:40 in the first leg, but it's just such a different race when you're in the legs later on, when you're just time trialing it, not having an actual race pack to sit in with.
Yeah.
But then I kind of ran identical time to like Isaac Hockey. Me and him ran, you know, pretty similar on the track a couple of weeks ago for 5K. I'm not great at cross country either, so like, I don't run.
Neither is he.
Yeah, well, obviously both of us, yeah. But like, I don't run any hills. I didn't wear spikes and slipped a bit in the streaks. I had a job to do. Andy was on the course a lot, kind of telling me what to do. He kind of gave me a warning that he thought I might have gone too hard around the first bend and just to settle down a bit. So we ended up, this was the big story of the weekend, Moose, that we beat all the Premier League division teams other than one, St. Stephen's Harriers. They were the only team that finished the 36K quicker than us.
So, Brady, this is how it goes.
This is big. This is big news.
No. This is how cross-country works. The division One teams compete against Division One teams because they're in a competition against each other.
Yeah, but no one wants getting smoked by the Divi Two boys coming and through, wiping the floor with nearly all of them.
Division Two teams compete against their Division Two competitors. So, although you
Western Athletics was sussing us out. How far ahead's Bendigo? How far behind's Bendigo? Ben Buckingham sending me messages the night before, like, who are you guys got? Like,
mate, they don't care about you, that you're in Division 2.
But everyone's caring. Everyone's talking about it. It's very impressive to do this.
Div 1 teams would still hate being beaten by a Div 2 team.
Well, I don't know.
No, I would.
It doesn't affect them in any way.
No, it doesn't affect the points system, but you'd be like, oh, this is crap. Maybe the bat should be in Div 1.
I'm fascinated about...
You're not competing against them.
I'm fascinated what they do now, because I'd assume they'll put us up. Like, after this round, because you want the best competition to be running against each other.
Can they do that, though, Brady? I thought it happens at the end of the season.
Yeah, but I think what will happen, Croaks, is because... So we lost by 1 point in 2019, and then 2020 they didn't have a season, so no one got put up from 2020. And now we've come out there and said, well, you know, if you want to do a count back, maybe you should have put us up as the 2020 team, even there wasn't a season, because we've kind of just demonstrated that we're here to play out.
You're taking the piss right now.
No, I'm not taking the piss. I think we deserve to be in Div 1, Premier Division.
Mate, you win your division, you go up. You haven't done shit yet. You won one race at Gels Park.
We'll see what we do throughout the season then. We'll keep filling people in.
Up on one result.
Okay, it was a pretty solid result. We'll keep seeing what happens throughout the season then.
You are taking the piss.
I seriously think we should be up there. Don't you think? Don't you agree, Moose?
At the end of the season, Brady, that's what you have to serve your time in Div 2. You have to be consistent. You need to be consistent for the whole season.
We'll be consistent. Don't worry about that. We've got a loaded team coming. And I
think. Do you want to recap then the whole Gels Park results?
Yeah.
You do a long run first?
No.
Oh, yeah, I did a long run. I did. Well, we got home at about bloody 6 o'clock. It was a long day down there. And we got home, and then just did an hour 45, hour 47 the next day out of Barmer with Hutchie and Nath Stoat. We averaged 4:18 or something.
Good
right?
chats.
Good
what
chats.
Do boys talk about?
Boys talk about footy a bit of footy chat. Hutchie told me a few like BWA stories.
Oh, yeah, he likes
all
them.
Those kind of things. It was good to see the big alpha of the Surf Coast Track Club in person. He's the big dog, isn't he, down there, Hutchie?
Well, he's not the fastest.
Yeah, but he's got that presence, though.
Does he?
Yeah, I reckon. He's just got that. Just got the alpha presence. Nah, Archie's a good fella. He was just staying around the corner, actually, not far from here.
Hutchie?
Hutchie.
Oh, Hutchie. What did he go to fucking Moama for? Oh,
tourist capital of New South Wales, mate, down here.
Be a cheap trip up there, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. All my Airbnb mates reckon got to put the prices up because all the caravan parks and that.
What's it a night there, like $60?
About $160, I think.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Airbnb is $140, and that's too cheap, they reckon.
Go
to get
stay
them
at Rich River. Stay at Rich River. It's like $100 a night.
That'd be a bit cheaper, I reckon, Rich River. Yeah. Little hotel rooms. So it was a good day. There was like a stack of people there. There was a lot of teams. I think something like 1,000 individuals, I heard them say or read somewhere over the whole thing. But I do have the results in here. St. Stephen's Harriers won it, so they had a pretty cool team because Stewie was on one leg, Ben Buckingham on one leg, and Tom Thorpe, so a six-man team, and they had three superstars there, 151.05.
Superstars?
I'd say they're superstars. They're like maybe not Tom Thorpe international, but he's a state Victorian 5K champ. He broke 18 too.
Superstars. Come on.
Stewie and Ben Buckingham aren't Australian running superstars.
There's probably only one or two superstars in the country that I'm calling superstars. Stewie McSween, Lyndon Hall is there.
And Jess Hull.
Jess Hull's a superstar. You can't go throwing superstar out like that.
Well, okay. Too generous with a superstar. Sorry, Bucks. anyway, they were in the team. They ran 151.05 for the 36K. Bendigo Bats, second fastest time of the day, 153.34, but in brackets because we're Division 2. Western Athletics, 155.08, and then Glenn Huntley, 155.42. Andy Buchanan, the king of the Bats, fastest of the day, 1730. Stewie, second, 1739. Cody Shanahan, 1752. That was the men's division. How do you feel about those guys getting medals, Moose, and Bendigo not maybe getting flicked the medals?
Who? The Western guys?
Oh, Western guys deserve a medal because they were top three. What about the Glenn Huntley guys in third? Do you reckon it'd feel a bit odd getting a medal up there?
No, because they finished third against those that they were third out of the eight teams that they were competing against.
If I was them, I'd chuck it in an envelope and ask for Andy Buchanan's address pretty quick, I reckon.
So you don't get a gold medal for winning Div 2?
No, no, they just say get the car, go home. They did this recap video. They didn't even mention the Bendigo bats. Come on, guys. When has a Div 2 team ever come second overall?
When has anyone cared about a Div 2 team like you do?
You're the reason, Brady, that Bendigo bats didn't get a mention in the videos because they've probably heard you bang on about it for the last week.
The team of the people. You're running
over 19 minutes, mate. You shouldn't be getting mentions.
No, with the team, mate. It's all a team thing. It's a six-man. 19
minutes? That is good. I actually said on Sunday, I said, Brady's just gone and tempoed this.
Well, I didn't. But it's like, I went in pretty heavy. I'd only come over sickness like 5 days before.
I actually thought you might, like I said,
I wasn't at 100%.
Yeah.
Anyway, got the job done for second for the bats. Anyway, coming off the Div 2 line.
You were first in Div 2.
We'll see if they, I think they'll put us up. We'll see what happens. Surely some common sense in the AV office goes, get these boys up there. Otherwise, we might have to start a petition or something.
Go do it.
I think there's an official hashtag, like hashtag let the bats fly or something like that. It's getting around. Anyway, the women's race, Glenn Huntley won that one. They only ran 5 legs, though, so that's why these times sound like they're exactly the same as the men's. 161.35, South Melbourne second, 156.51. Box Hill third, 157.36. Melissa Duncan was the fastest, 21.04. Carly Thackeray was the second fastest, 21.05. And Karina Fife was third in 21.38. So that's Gels Park. It was good. Good to see thousands of people there. So strong. So many people getting around. So many familiar faces. It was
It's a fun event, isn't it?
Good chaos.
I'm a little disappointed they changed it just because I love I know they've changed it. They changed the direction once.
I love being able to compare times over previous years. And that's what you're doing. You're sitting there going, Brady should have been faster. And you're sitting behind a keyboard not actually knowing what the course looks like.
How far off?
What about Ballarat, Brad? Andy's the best. Seconds. Andy's the best runner in Australia at cross country. What about Ballarat, Brad? 10th spot, 2 hours 17. Bendigo bats beat him by 27 minutes. 27 minutes. 24 minutes. Sorry, 24 minutes.
What?
We could have ran another person.
Two, three, all the way down to 10th, and then new line Div 2. So we still sit above you.
Inside Athletics did a good article.
How would Mona feel about that, though? Mm. Is he dusting off his uniform?
And then Geelong Surf Coast Track Club in ninth, Brad. Ninth and 10th.
No, that's not Surf Coast Track Club. That's Geelong Region Cross Country.
You guys are getting booted, I reckon, both of those teams. One of them's going.
I think you only boot one, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's why
Michael Kernahan's firing up on Strava, because their team will probably finish second this year in Divi 2, and they don't get to go up, and they'll smoke you guys all season.
It doesn't work like that, Michael.
I think they did used to put two up in the past.
In the past, maybe, but it's strange because we haven't been strong. Ballarat hasn't been strong for a while.
But all you need to be is the second weakest club. But if only one gets kicked out, you don't have to worry about it. they just want it. I don't know. They should maybe put two up so you just have the strongest competition. Hashtag let the bats fly. Let the bats fly. Anyway. We do have to talk about, fellas, how are you enjoying the Coros watches? I've got that here to ask you about that. You've been going right with them? Had them for a few weeks now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big fan.
What's the thing you like the most?
So probably the couple of things for me. One is the battery life. I think I've charged it maybe twice I've had it for 6-5 weeks maybe. And even then I charged it when it was like 20%. So I reckon I could probably get close to 3 weeks out of it, which is unheard of for any other GPS watch that I've ever had. The track mode I quite like as well. Just from how accurate, I know when I do track workouts in the past, if I do a 6K session, it's like 6.5. If you warm up on the track, you cool down on the track, it's just way out distance wise. Whereas I did a 7.2K session on the track a couple of weeks ago and it got me at 7.18. And yeah, I guess the other thing for me is the just how easy it is to do everything on your phone, and it automatically sends it to the watch. So they're three really good features for me.
Have you got any things that you're still trying to figure out, or you're not sure, like maybe like things they can improve on?
Well, there's just so many features on the watch that I to be honest, like I haven't used them all. Like, you know, I know that you put a route onto your watch. Like I haven't done that sort of stuff. So I've gone the real basic in terms of set up a workout in the watch, and then just used it for my general running. But there's so many features, which, you know, maybe I'll use one day. And it's, you know, probably suited for like those adventure people that get out into the bush a bit more as well.
Or you're running a new like route for the first time. Yeah. And you just want to know when to turn and stuff like that. I do. I agree with all the things you just said, but also for me, I enjoy like just how good the app is. Like, I'm not sure about when you guys about other apps. I know with mine, I'd always struggle to connect to Bluetooth, and then you got to try like a million tricks. It's like, well, turn the watch off and on, close the app, you know, disconnect it, reconnect it. And I just always have issues trying to sync up. Not always, like a once a week thing. But it was just like a constant just annoyance trying to get runs synced from my app to my watch. Whereas with this, I haven't had one issue. Does it super quick, straight to Strava, bang, can get on there. And like the mobile seems really friendly. Like I actually haven't at all logged on to the desktop version because I can do everything in the app and then just send it to a Bluetooth. I have made a few mistakes a couple of times where the GPS hasn't been ready and I've started the run. Have you guys done that yet?
No. Yeah, I have done that.
And I've done it twice, and once it picked me up as running way faster than I have, and the other time it picked me up as going way slower than I have. And I just assumed it might pick up after like 500 meters and just be fine. But it just, yeah, I remember I did it once in a long run, and I just had to be more patient. I thought it was ready and then started and then got back, and it was just terrible data. Mm-hmm. Moose, anything from your side of things? This is the Coros Apex Pro we're talking about.
Yep, so for me, the last two watches I had before this was the Garmin Fenix 5 and then the Garmin Forerunner 245 Music. This compares closer to the one I have over the Apex Pro. It compares a lot closer to the Fenix 5. So it's a bigger unit. It has more functionality than other watches in the range, but it is a little heavier. Straight off when I've put it on. So I guess as a bit of a side story, we've retailed Garmin and Suunto in the past in the store, and now we only retail Coros for a few reasons. But number one for me was the build quality feels really high. So when you get the watch in your hand, you put it on, and then you start sort of feeling like, I guess the materials that are used, and when you look at the watch, it looks really classy. It just looks like a really high quality unit. And then for me, the bezel on the side, the steel bezel that you roll across to access different menus, it's so smooth. So that's another thing, like bezels in the past with other brands have been really clunky and they haven't worked for me very well. I've always preferred buttons to bezels or touchscreens. But this bezel is so smooth and it's pretty much seamless. And then the buttons on the outside also help to get you through other menus. And like within a few weeks of having my Garmin, they started to get stuck for me. So I was hitting them and it wasn't doing anything. Whereas no issues so far with the Coros. So battery life, like Brad said, amazing. I used to have to bring my charger with me when I would stay in Ballarat overnight to work. For the Garmin, but with the Coros, like you can charge it at the start of the week. Don't need to think about charging it for at least a week after that. The wrist GPS, it's still, to me, not good enough. Like every other watch device out there that uses that optical heart rate, I just don't think back of the wrist is a good spot to put optical heart rate, but that's what you have when you've got a watch. So not reliable. I actually turned it off. I just turn it off now because I did find it was a little clunky connecting heart rate monitors with the optical. I wasn't quite sure if my heart rate was connected or not. The thing that I'm missing is the lack of music that I put on the watch. So the Garmin 245 Music had an option where you can connect to Spotify and listen to Spotify through Bluetooth speakers. You don't get that with Vicora, so I'm back to just chucking on a little belt and putting my phone in there, which is totally fine anyway, because it gives you more features on Spotify. If you're out running, you can actually change search, do all sorts of stuff. So
take selfies.
You know what I've been doing most when I want to have music, because I like how accurate the Coros is. Like when I had the Garmin 245 music, there'd be times when I'd go around a corner or there'd be certain areas where the GPS, I knew it was dodgy. I knew it was like telling me I was going faster than I was. And just about every run I do on this one now, it's generally a little bit shorter than everybody else who's on a Garmin, which to me means that it's probably a little bit more accurate. So I like wearing the Coros, but if I want to have some music, I just have my Garmin on the other wrist. But I don't use it. I don't get GPS. I just use it purely as a music player.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Haven't you got that little Mighty thing though, Brad? Did you get that Bluetooth thing?
Yeah, that busted. That didn't last very long at all. So now I'm just using my Spotify through the Garmin watch while I actually use the Coros GPS.
Thrifty. Yeah, Coros GPS is definitely it's definitely different to the Garmin. Like when I was doing those 1K routes with Archie the other day, like he'd finish and I'd have to go an extra couple of steps. And like we're doing it on a straight road.
Not good for the ego and not good for Strava, because you're probably a K shorter than everybody else over a week or a couple of K, but I think it's definitely more accurate.
Yeah, I say that. I'm like, you guys are cheating yourselves now wearing those Garmins. Like you gotta pay the Coros tax here.
Yeah,
no, it's good watch, good, like, durable, yeah, and the charging's next level. Like I think I've charged it 4 times since I've had mine. And when it gets down to like 10%, you're like, oh well, still got like 3 days to go here. Whereas if that was the Garmin, you just start panicking. You're like, can't go for my run yet. Yeah, anyway, that's good. Running news. Oh, patrons, fellas, we jumped around a bit tonight. Patrons to thank. Kick us off, Bradley.
All right, I've got Vesa Lindberg. Vesa lives in London and runs for Victoria Park and Tower Hamlets. PBs of 17:45 for 5K, 35:20 for 10, 79:48 for the half, and 2:41, which he ran at Hamburg Marathon. Works for digital technology Algae Timing. I actually just looked up their website. So they're basically, says the undisputed market leader in timing devices for alpine skiing, but they do obviously swimming, track and field, so dog agility. So,
I reckon Vesa owns the whole business.
You reckon?
Yeah, his Instagram. He had a whole lot of photos of it on there.
Oh wow! Like
you wouldn't just be doing that if it was your employee.
So this is like stopwatches and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Like timing mats for at the end, touch pads for the swimming. Multi-sport, sport climbing.
Very technical stuff, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Talking about motorsport, how good's that Formula One doco you got me on? That Netflix one.
Drive to Survive?
Yeah, that's real good. Yeah. Anyway,
so, thanks for your support, Vesa.
Thanks, Vesa, over there in London. Moose, who you got?
I have Brett Buttermore. Brett is from Wakerley in Queensland. Estimated best times of 18:48, 40:12, and 1:29 at Gold Coast Half Marathon. I think he's one. I'm going to go with the one. Maybe the 18:48 there. 18:48. What do you boys think?
Yeah, I agree. These are estimated best as well, because I think his Strava's on private, so I'm not even sure if they're right.
But yeah, you're all right. Seems to be a local at the Wynnum Park Run. He once went swimming with sharks, and he owns a border collie, so thanks for your patronage, Brent.
I'm going to thank Alan Smith from over in London as well. Croaks, 2 Londoners this week. Maybe a real legitimate soccer player, like before he got into running. Saw some photos of him playing soccer at Old Trafford back in 2017. He's married to a lady called Misha, who is a doctor. He ran 3:21 at the London Marathon in 2017, got a bad stitch halfway through and lost a bit of time late in that race. And then he went back in 2018 to London and ended up in a hospital with pneumonia. Got 2 kids, and he also ran in the 10,000 meter PBs in the Strava like invite mile race. You guys remember seeing that pop up when they do the night of the 10,000 meter PBs and Strava put on that like mile race handicap one? You ever see that?
Not sure.
I reckon you know it if you've seen some photos through the like tent over there and people dress up and stuff. I think it's like a celebrity kind of thing. So he could be a celebrity, like famous ex soccer player that now got into running.
Well, funny you say that. we obviously didn't do too much research because I just Googled Alan Smith, and it had Alan Smith, footballer, born 1980s, English football coach and retired professional footballer.
This could be him.
Last played for Notts County. Represented the England national team, winning 19 caps. There you go. Wow.
No, I looked at some photos. I'm not sure if this is the same guy.
Says he Leeds United, Manchester United, Newcastle United.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing if we had a Premier League, ex-Premier League player listening to the podcast.
Well, we'd take that, wouldn't we? He's got 93,000 followers on...
Holy shit.
Yeah, 93,000 followers on Twitter. He's got a blue tick.
Oh, wow.
This is the bloke who's...
No, we don't know. We're just trying to put two and two together.
Here you go. Well, yeah.
No, his Instagram... I don't think his Instagram had that many followers, though. Not 90,000.
I've just sent you his Wikipedia page.
No, I don't think they look the same. Check our Instagram. We follow him
Alan
on Instagram.
Alan Smith is surely a very popular name.
Well, that's why I had to stalk him on Instagram, because I typed in the Strava and there was like a billion pages come up, and I'm like, oh, no. But anyway, hopefully we got some of that right, Alan. And thank you for your Patreon support and all the other legends over there on Patreon. Running News Boys kicks off Croaks World Record Women's 5K on the road.
So Norwegian Caroline Grovdal ran 14:39 to break Beth Potter's road record. She's run 31:14 for 10K, I'm guessing, on the track, and a 14:51 5K. Finished seventh, I'm guessing, in the 10K, and ninth in the 5K at the Rio Olympics. So legit runner.
She's class, isn't she? So no surprises here. Yeah. I did see her post today saying it was just all the super shoes, but you're like, come on. Did you see that same one, Moose?
No, I didn't. But what was funny is that, like, I've been following her on Instagram, I think, since 2019, when she might have been at St. Moritz training on the track. And I was like, oh, I wonder who that is. And then someone told me, I found her on Instagram because she was posting photos like of her running there. And I never really heard of her. And then I was just scrolling through Instagram and a post pops up saying, I just broke the world record. And I was like, who the hell is this? I don't even know this person. And they broke the world record for the 5K. I thought that was quite funny that I was reading it like before it was announced on someone's personal post.
Well, I think we actually spoke about her on one other episode as well. I'm pretty sure she did something. Yeah, I've just looked up episode 155. You actually had to read out this bit of news because it's in your colour. When she broke her 10K national record over in Norway, she ran 30:32.
Fuck, 30:32?
Oh, yep. Well, you stuffed up that then. She's run quicker than 31:14.
Nah, but that was on an IAAF profile, and this was like a COVID road race, this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
Christian would have been sending you that shit, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, we also...
Did Christian try to say he coached this girl? I think I remember that.
Nah, he said he had... I was talking to him last night, and he said he had something to do with putting the race on, though. Because Sondre run 61 at the same meet?
Oh, yeah. I saw this is going around in circles, like your half marathon, though.
Oh, was it? We didn't go in circles. We ran out 10K and turned around.
This was circle course.
Oh, was it? Dodgy GPS, you reckon?
I don't know, but I looked at Christian's ride or run, and then I saw Sondre's run on Strava, and I was like, oh, look. It's probably rigid legit, but then if you look at the corners of it, you're like, looks like he cuts this corner way off.
Throwing the lip at Sondre Mullen is a big move, Moose. He is a really big dog. Hey, fair enough to do that at the Bendigo Bats. But
so what you're
Sondre
saying,
Moose,
would have been 20.5K on the Coros.
Yeah.
Who's he sponsored by?
I don't know.
You've got to be all the big dogs are Coros now. There are no Garmin athletes out there.
In Australia, they are.
Mate, Garmin only sponsor fucking influencers.
Yeah, remember I tried to tag them in all those Instagram posts? They just didn't even see me post. not interested, Garmin. Anyway, Sydney 10 Croaks. This was an amazing event. It looked like super foggy. Photos kind of looked cool, but two course records, and I think the biggest amount of participants in the history of the event.
Yeah, it's definitely the best event that they put on every year. It's just super deep, and they've tinkered the course a little bit over the last few years just to try and, I guess, reduce a little bit of elevation and also take out a couple of the 180-degree U-turns. So now they sort of run around the stadium rather than having to do a U-turn and head back out again. But yeah, Kieran Tor won the race 28.55 from Tommy DeCanto, 28.57. And then it was a sprint finish down the straight between Matt Hudson and Benny Saint for the bronze medal. Matt Hudson got over the top of him, 29.10, Benny 29.11. Lauren Reed won the women's race, 32.23 from Leanne Pompiani, was 32.26. So both of those women were under the old course record. And I should have mentioned that Kieran Tall's was a course record as well. Marnie Ponton was third in the women's in 32.51. So there was 105 runners under 34.30. So it's certainly one of the top 10K races in the country in terms of the, you know, times, depth, and it's just, yeah, it's a super flat course.
Hmm. Who had the course records there, Brad, do you know?
I think it was Benny, actually.
Yeah. Do you know the women's,
just,
though?
Just over 29,
oh,
yeah.
Didn't Gwen?
Em Brickacek had the women's record.
Gwen Jorgensen ran there 1 year, I was there.
Yeah, 2015 she won the women's there, but no, Em Brickacek had the women's record.
Good times. Good to see the New South Welshmen firing and women up there. Australian 3K Championships were on the track at Box Hill last Thursday night. Croaks and I doing the commentary, Croaks.
Ooh. It's good fun, wasn't it?
I couldn't see much, but it was good talking to you and trying to see what we could from Nathan Pierce standing at the track with a phone. If you're not sure what we're talking about, it's on our YouTube channel or our somewhere else, Facebook Live, I think we ended up sending out to there. Genevieve Gregson got the win in 8.51. Rose Davies was second, 8.52. Melissa Duncan, third, 8.55. There was also Georgia Hansen under 9 minutes with 8.57. And Izzy Bat Doyle, 8.59, after having a stack at about 300 metres to go. Yeah, caught in a bit of traffic, hit the ground. And then, yeah, Jen knows how to win, got it done. Super good interview with her post-race as well. I'm not sure if you've seen any of this stuff, Moose, but she was super honest talking about her race plans and kind of, Nathan kind of went up to her straight after she crossed the line and kind of you could hear the, I guess the, maybe not sympathy in her voice, but kind of she didn't want to celebrate too much because there was a stack and she didn't kind of like seeing that during the race. And the way she kind of summarised it was a whole lot better than what I just did. But, yeah, some good racing there and super deep in that women's race, which we've come to expect in Australian distance running.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, but it was hard to watch because of the, it was just Nathan holding the camera, which he did a good job, but, gee, it was disappointing not to be able to watch it. It's something that we just expect now, isn't it, that if there's a national championships or something on that we do get a look at it. Or we get to follow it, we get to cheer on the people that we've been following all season. It's like that was disappointing. I'm not sure like the decision making behind that, but it was, yeah, Australian Athletics Australia, I think, was in charge of it, apparently, not Athletics Victoria. So we can sort of ask those questions to them.
It's just, but there was no clock there, Moose. There was no commentator.
I heard there was no clock as well.
You're just like, what is this meet? Like, this is meant to be an Australian 3,000 metre championship. And, like, they need to just put on those streams for, like, the super fans. Like, you don't, we're not saying get it on bloody live on Channel 7. Like, just, you know, give the people who love this sport what they want. And it's not that hard, I'm sure. Like, we pulled together a, yeah, you didn't get to see much of the race just when they went past every lap, but at least you gave some people something, and we just organised that with a guy on the phone. Like, it's, they should be doing so much better than this, the people in charge of the sport.
Yeah. Yep. In the men's, have you talked about that yet? You haven't, have you?
No, you're up.
So it was a surprise winner, Jack Bruce, who hasn't got a lot of wins over his training partners, the Melbourne Track Club fellas, over the past sort of few years. Going in the last lap, it was all pretty tight. There was a bunch of them, probably about sort of six athletes really gunning for that first place. And you weren't expecting Jack Bruce to pull out the fastest lap at the end. I think he ran like a 57, was it?
Oh, I haven't seen any splits, yeah.
I haven't seen splits, but I was just going off his times and just thinking, oh, he needs to run pretty quick to run that time, and he actually did. So I know it was sub 60 last lap. So Jack Bruce, the Queenslander, was first. Jude Thomas ran an Australian under 20 record. Now, did he take that off Ryan Gregson?
Correct.
He
did. Yep.
Yep. So he ran 7:52.11, which was outside Jack Bruce's 7:51.81. And another Queenslander, Ryan Gregson, well, the person that he took the record off was 7:52.81. So Gregson got an up-close view of his record getting pinched.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty close race, and it didn't quite go out as fast as I thought it might have. I guess it is a championship event. There were points on the line for the win.
Yeah, not many points, though. It was only D-level points, not national championship points.
Yeah, and if it's D-level points, in order to get points, you have to run fast as well. So it's basically like a little top-up at the end, the points.
Okay.
You get a certain amount of points for your race, for your time. So say you go out and run 7:51, and I'm just throwing it out there, that's 1,000 points for Jack Bruce. But now if you say he wins that in a Diamond League, and he wins the Diamond League, he might get an extra 400 points on top. So the points for that race now goes to 1,400 points for him, which might be the equivalent of running like 7:25 or something.
And this all matters for people who don't have the qualifying time. Then if they got more points, it jumps them up the position, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's a combination of different races and accumulation of points and stuff, which may determine certain roll down spots in different events. And also it might play a part in the World Championship qualifying as well. But the if you only run, say, like 7:51, it's fast, but it's probably not as fast as Jack can run. Say he gets only 800 points for that. Oh, say he gets 1,000 points for his time, but a D-level race might only be an extra 25 points or something. So it's probably not significant.
Do you know why didn't it have national championship kind of points up for grabs if it was a national championship? Yeah.
Probably because it was just a 3,000 metres, not an Olympic distance.
Oh, okay, not a 15 or 5K.
That maybe, yeah, maybe.
10 men under 8 minutes.
What I like, Brady, as well, like about the live feed, we've been able to talk to the athletes afterwards and get a little bit more detail, because if we didn't have that live stream, we would have just been reading out the results tonight, whereas we got to chat to Jen and she told us her plans of going over to Diamond Leagues like in Doha and then heading over to Europe to do a 10K, which will be like the Ethiopian trials. And likewise with Jack, like he told us that, you know, the reason why he's been quiet this domestic season was he's had a stressy in his sacrum. So he's sort of coming back from that and, plans on racing a 5K over in Perth and then maybe heading overseas himself. So that was one benefit of having the stream up.
Where Stewie's going to pace it, he said, that 5K in Perth.
Yeah, that's right.
So you'd expect that maybe to be organised for just putting two and two together. Matthew Ramsden to hit the time for 5K maybe.
Yeah, you'd think so.
That's why they'd be in Perth. Talking about Ethiopian trials, did you guys catch any of this? Ethiopia had a trials race, a 35K race at 2,300 metres above sea level. I tagged you guys in a video I come across on Instagram today. You see it? Cows going everywhere.
People, is that it?
That was that race? That was that race, yeah.
That's what I found fascinating was that I checked the agenda. I saw there was an Ethiopian trial. And then, so I saw the agenda before I saw you tag me in Instagram. And then I looked at the Instagram and I'm like, surely that's not the trial. There's cows on the start line.
And there's like cars like they're running into and stuff, and there's people with sticks getting the cows off the road, and they're all in these like super good like Nike Elite kits, like Lasisa Desisa. You know how he has a special one because he's the world champ, so he's in like the gold and black like Nike kit, and then they had this race.
But fascinated me though, Brady, was there weren't that many athletes on the start line for how many you'd think are trying to put their hand up.
It was invite only. Yeah, and they were really strict. I remember Michael Crawley, who we had on, the guy who wrote that book about Ethiopia and training over there, he kind of shared some tweets about like some legit like 205, 206 guys like calling the Ethiopian Federation out on Twitter saying like they haven't been invited and they should have got the opportunity and stuff like this. So I think there was maybe like only 6 or 7 men invited. And there were some big names missing. So Bekele released a statement the other day saying the race was too close to the Olympics and he didn't want to do it. Then you got Berene Laghessi, who's a two-time Tokyo champ and a 202.48 PB. He wasn't there. I think he may have been injured. And then you had Mozanette Geremu, who's a world championship silver medalist, who also has a PB of 202.55. So there's three Ethiopians who are quicker than 202.55. And obviously, you know, Kenny Bekele, the second fastest ever, who weren't on the start line. So they're not going to Tokyo.
But I'm confused in that Bekele said it was too close to the Olympics. But, like, if he doesn't run it, he doesn't go to the Olympics.
Yeah, but I think he may have been trying to just put a bit of influence out there saying, maybe I don't need to run this. I don't know. There was a statement out there, which I didn't read. I probably should have. But they've still got a legit team. Like, the winner from London, Shura Katata, he was the guy who won in the wet that day. He ran an hour 46.15 for the 35K at 2,300 metres, remember? So he's going. Lasisa De Sisa, your mate Moose. Did he win your race over at the World Champs?
Yeah. He's also part of that Breaking 2 project.
That's right. Did you get to see him over there? Lasisa De Sisa, yeah? Say g'day?
Yeah, I said g'day, Lally.
He's won a few races, Boston a couple of times, New York and the World Championships. But he did come 35th. In Valencia last December in 204. And then Cisse Lima. Yeah, that's what it says from Let's Run here. Only 35th in Valencia last December, 204.45 PB.
I don't think so.
The 204.45 is his PB. He didn't run that day, but he finished 35th at Valencia. Yep, sorry. That was the way I read that. I forgot that full stop there. And Cisse Lima, he was the third guy, 146.19. He's never won a major. Third best marathon was at Tokyo, London, Berlin. He's never been around. Then the women's, you want to tell us about the women's race, Moose? Some big names here too.
Yeah, so in the women's, first place was Tigist Girma. She ran 159.23. 27 years old, has never won a major. Her best finish is fifth. Only major she ever ran, which was Tokyo last year, but has run twice, 219. 219.52 is her PB from Amsterdam 2019. So she's been around for a while. She's never really nailed one by the looks of it. Looks like she's been on almost the B-grade circuit. Even though she's running 219, she's only ever run one major marathon. She's won two of her career 13 marathons. You sort of notice that, don't you? Some of them go around to like Paris, Amsterdam,
Rotterdam,
Rome.
Yeah,
Hamburg, all those ones.
Venice. And they
collect a lot of cash, probably don't get the appearance fees of the big ones, but just develop a career, like earn a living,
you know. And the next tier down from that is the ones that go to like China and that.
Yeah, China, Singapore. Gold Coast.
Yeah,
well,
they might be
the next tier down again.
There's a lot of money in that doing that, and they run like 80 a year kind of thing.
Yeah. Second place was Berhan Dibaba. So Berhan, she was the runner-up in Tokyo last year, 218.35. Ninth in Valencia, so not great there, 223. But she does have a PB, 218.35. 2015 and 18 Tokyo champ. So she's won races before. And third, these names. So that was a Dibaba. This name here is Rosa Doreje Bekele. So there's a Bekele here. Do we know if they're related to...
No, I read this in the book. It's got something to do with... I want to get this right because it's important that I do. But their last name is not the family name, I'm going to say. But that's not as significant as the names before that. Because the guy in that book made a note about it. Oh, I want to get it right. I wish I could tell you off the top of my head.
Yeah, but you haven't.
So. Yeah, I know. He pretty much said, like, you know, when you say Bekele, it doesn't mean they're all brother and sister kind of thing. And that's why he kind of said in the book, or he might have said in an interview I listened to before I interviewed him, that they're more recognisable by those names before their last name.
Okay.
And that's where they were kind of going off of Western commentators saying, referring to them as Bekele and getting lost in that whole Bekele thing, when they're more known in their own communities and country from those first names that you just read out.
Yep. Okay. Well, she's 23. She won Valencia 2:18.30. Was third in London in 2019 when it was a real race. won Dubai and was second in Chicago in 2018. So she's obviously a higher level athlete. So they're sending strong teams.
Yeah. How accurate do you reckon that 35K is based on the based on the Instagram clip you saw?
God. We got to share that clip.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Ross Runnix, I think it was, on Instagram. Yeah. He'll find it. Ross is good at that kind of stuff. Next bit of news, Brad, hopefully this one hasn't broken your heart over there because I know you're a big Tin Man Elite fan, got some posters up in your house, got merch, all those kind of things. But the Tin Man himself, the guy you interviewed, Tom Tin Man Swartz, is no longer coaching Drew Hunter and the Tin Man Elite team. Let's Run has gone absolutely crazy. So is every Instagram account, and there's people burning their merch left, right and centre, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. So they've both put out statements that, you know, Tin Man said, yeah, he's no longer working with Drew and the rest of the Tin Man. But he did mention he would prefer that they change the name of the organisation. And that's the thing for me. It's almost like, yes, they're like a semi-professional squad, but their brand is almost more important and bigger than sort of what they've done on the track. And the fact that they're named after the coach, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing, whether they keep it as Tin Man Elite or whether they do come up with a completely different name, which you'd have to think it's, yeah, affected the brand a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, the old American, like, it's just interesting how hard people are going on them. Mm. Like, when you read some of the comments and stuff, and you're just like, whoa, this is like a lot of drama. But I guess they share so much. Yeah.
Yeah, they put themselves out there. They play up to it a lot, like real sort of cocky, brash types, which is fine. It's, they made a brand off that, and you're allowed to be that. And you're going to attract criticisms because of that. But it just seems like all this could have been handled in maybe a little bit of a better way. Mm. Just reading the statements by everyone, thinking, oh, just more communication. Sounds like it's more, just guys talk to each other more.
It looks a bit messy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to do the Mizuno shoe review? Mizuno Wave Rider 25. Thanks to Mizuno for sponsoring this week's episode. It's always good getting home and seeing. I actually got two pairs of Mizunos, like you, Brad. I don't think you did though, Moose. You missed out?
Yeah, I've missed out. So we'll don't talk about the second pair.
Ooh, I haven't ran in those yet, so that's good. But the Wave Rider 25, do you stock it?
Yeah, so it releases on, well, it's released on May 1st. We're actually just trying to find out where our stock is right now. But we've always stocked the Rider. The Rider's been in their range now. Like, this is the 25th year. So it's been there for a long time.
Mizuno, sorry to interrupt, is Mizuno a Japanese company?
They are, yeah. So you'll find, like, Mizuno very popular in golf. I was always told Tiger Woods used to have Mizuno golf clubs that were branded Nike because he really liked the Mizuno clubs. They're big in baseball. So I think they were the Major League Baseball sponsor for a while, if not still are. They're big in swimming and volleyball, I think, in Japan. I think that's their main thing. And then running, of course. So they're a very old brand. I think they're one of the oldest running brands that there is. I think around sort of 1900 they started up, Mizuno.
Yeah, because in Shoe Dogs, he refers to it a bit, doesn't he, when he was going over to Phil Knight, when he was going over to Japan and stuff.
I think he was – no, that was Tiger. That was Onitsuka.
Yeah, but he's referred to Mizuno as well, I reckon, that, didn't he?
Does he? Yeah, I think so. Look, I can't remember exactly, but I know that they're – like, they've gone through stages of distribution in Australia where they're sort of really popular, and then they sort of they've disappeared for a while, and then they've sort of come back strong. And the Wave Rider has been like a real consistent in their range. It's been very solid. It's something like the Pegasus from Nike. That's a shoe that it competes with. It doesn't really change dramatically each year, so you know kind of what you're getting with the Rider. The Mizuno sort of has a very strong loyalist following from Mizuno runners as well. But I just ran in my Rider 25s tonight. I've never really been a big Mizuno guy. They've got a large heel to toe offset. So they're 12 millimeters is their offset height. And a lot of brands have sort of moved lower. But there are those that sort of have maybe a little bit more of a rear foot strike that prefer having more heel to toe offset, or those with Achilles and calf sort of concerns that benefit from having that higher heel. And for someone who does rear foot strike or even a walker, it does feel nice to have that platform back there. So did you want me to run through like the differences from the previous version?
That would be good. And then, because we don't know any of those kind of things in our vocab, well, I don't, Brad, talking for both of us here, but then we'll maybe talk about our experiences in it.
Yeah, so I won't go into like the crazy specifics, but the midsole got softer. So it's softer, more responsive. That's in the new one. There's a new plate. So Mizuno are famous for their wave plates, which is like a plastic plate that runs through the rear foot of the shoe into the midfoot, and it provides sort of a cushioning and stable feel. In this new version, the medial side, so it sits under your arch, is a little stronger. That's designed to give a little bit more stability. There's a new upper. There is joining or laminating of the forefoot, like medial outer sole pods, to provide again a little bit more stability and a little bit more responsiveness under there, because that's where we toe off from. And they've gone to more sustainable materials, so less CO2 emissions in the production of the shoe.
What's it retail for, Moose?
$220.
Oh, that's affordable compared to, like, aren't most shoes expensive now?
Would that be a bit cheaper
than most of the shoes?
Well, the shoes that it competes against, it's around on par. It competes against shoes like the ASICS Cumulus, the Nike Pegasus, the Brooks Ghost, the Saucony Ride, maybe like, yeah, that's sort of around, they're the shoes that I'd compare it with, maybe the New Balance 880. So if you're that sort of runner and you wanted to try a Mizuno, like, this is easily the most comfortable Mizuno that I've never really picked a Mizuno to wear for myself. So when we were sort of gifted these shoes by Mizuno, I was like, yeah, I don't see myself running in it a lot. And then took it out tonight for a run and came back, and I said to Brie, I'm like, I'm going to wear this shoe more often. This actually felt really good out there. The softness of the shoe was great. I actually enjoyed having a little bit more through the back half of the shoe. It's just a really traditional shoe that feels good.
Yeah, I agree. I have never purchased a pair of Mizuno shoes before, and when they kind of come, I thought, oh, this could be interesting, because it wouldn't be a shoe I'd usually purchase. But put it on, and I was like, yeah, I just did an easy 8K in it as my first run, and I felt like I'm probably spending more and more time in, like you said, softness, but this doesn't feel like plush soft for me, like sinking kind of soft, yeah. Which I kind of get in the, Nike, what's it called, Invincible, and also like the Glide Ride. Like, I feel like they're higher and I kind of just really sink into them, whereas this was firmer, but it still felt like I could tick along all good. And it kind of reminded me that, like, oh yeah, you can feel the ground at different levels, and this is probably good to work a few different muscles and things like that. Then I did 70 minutes in it this morning and really enjoyed it as well. And it's going to be a shoe in my rotation. I think it's going to be a shoe that I do, I'm not sure about Sunday long run, but definitely like a 70 to 50 minute kind of recovery run, and those doubles in, no dramas at all. Croaks, what do you think?
Yeah, so I put them on, must have been last Tuesday, and I went basically straight out of the box, put them on. I'm like, yep, these feel comfortable. The upper I really enjoyed, and I had no issues doing a full hour first up. What I liked about it was the cushioning around the heel counter. I find a lot of modern day shoes, they've gone real minimal through there, and I just really liked having some padding around there. And the other thing is the tread. I find a lot of shoes these days, especially when I'm out at Mulligan's and going for easy runs, and I'm probably, like, you know, landing on my heel a little bit more, I really just rip the outer heel apart, whereas the tread on these things looks super durable, and I reckon I'll get a lot of K's. So it's going to be a good workhorse shoe for, as you said, Brady, like those just easy hour runs, doubles. But they seem quite durable to me from the bottom.
So thanks to Mizuno for sponsoring this week's show and sending us some shoes. We might skip the listener question, Croaks, because it's been a long show and Moose has got to go on the loose or purchase of the week. What are you telling us, Moose?
Oh, shit. Look, I've been buying some stuff lately. just like, I got these new 2-inch green shorts from Nike. I'm not sure. Have you seen the colored race shorts lately?
Oh, yeah. Are these, remember I sent you a message yesterday saying how that race had sponsored one of the races in the States and they were all wearing the same one? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a pair of them. I haven't busted them out yet. I got to get fitter before I can wear them.
Are you going to race in them?
I don't know. They might match. We got new Surf Coast Track Club kit coming. So just a special drop for kind of like a pretty exclusive little drop. Going to be a white singlet, coloured logo. They're going to look amazing. I did get something recently, though. I definitely did. Gee, I can't remember what it was.
These green shorts are interesting.
I don't know if you can pull this off. No, yeah, I don't either. But like 6 weeks in Noosa, I should be able to.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. You need to wear them in summer, and you're about to go summer. Yeah.
No, it'll be all right. I'll be all right. I got it, Patagonia. So I got this. Did I tell you about the waterproof jacket I got?
No.
Oh, so it rained the other day, and I was like, oh, don't like the rain. So then I went investigating what options Patagonia has. I got an account with Patagonia now, and I got this rain jacket, or it's almost like a ski mountaineering jacket. It's like three layers of Gore-Tex membrane. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's like, it's got this big hood to fit over your climbing helmet, and it's designed for like people that go hiking in South America and like Nepal and shit, and that go skiing through the backcountry. But it's the best dog walking jacket I've ever got. Class jacket.
I was just on Instagram when you start talking about these kind of things. I'm just like, come on, just loop someone off in Moose of the Loose and say this coach to the loose stuff.
You're going to do that. Haven't we done that already? Weren't you going to talk about AV?
I've got to, yeah, that's probably more new stuff. Can I bring up Canberra Marathon as well? It's taken them 3 weeks to pay prize money. You guys ever waited that long for prize money?
3 weeks is not much. That's not much at all.
It's okay. I had an email the other day. I'm like, do you guys get that information I sent you? They're like, yeah, we'll get it to you. I'm like, okay.
We got paid from Hobart a couple of days ago, and that's a week before. So that's on trend.
Is it really?
I reckon.
Hobart was really quick for me last year.
Great Ocean Road used to take months to pay.
Really?
Like, months.
How can they be so inefficient, though? Like, it's not a hard thing to do.
They'll take your money, no worries.
Getting money from
it's very difficult.
Hey, I'm talking $250 here. I'm not talking much. Like, it's not hard. Anyway, Athletes Victoria. Yeah, this got sent in from a Patreon supporter. Won't name them, but they quite a famous Patreon supporter, actually, talking about someone with thousands of followers. They made a decision this year to change the distances for the women who are 50-plus and the men who are 60-plus. From the traditional season. So this is the stuff we're talking about with Bendigo Bats before, 10-race season. The people in those age categories still have the option to compete at the traditional distances, but they will not be able to score points for their clubs or be in the running for like medals and stuff like that to win their championships there. So at the relays on the weekend, the 50-plus men were still doing 6K, whereas the 50-plus women were only doing 3K. At the 8K in a couple of weeks, the 50-plus men will do 8K, the women will do 4. At the 12K in a couple of weeks, the 50-plus men will do... So this is only for the men and the women are different. The men will do 12, the women will do 8. Pretty much Sandown relays, the men do 6.2, the women do 3.1. The half marathon, the men will do 21K, the women will do 5K. The 10K goes from 10K to 8K. So pretty much they're sometimes cut in half, sometimes taking a few Ks off. Caused a bit of controversy around that. It seems odd for me. I think the announcement was around trying to encourage more people in those age brackets to get involved in the sport. So it's kind of less daunting, I guess. Maybe they're trying to think if the distances are shorter. But there's some bloody fit 50-plus women out there and 60-plus men that must be, well, I know they are because I'm reading the emails, pretty annoyed that they don't get the opportunity to compete at their traditional distances, especially when the men still do and the women don't in that 50-plus one. Any thoughts there, fellas?
Yeah, just... I don't really I haven't really looked into it like you have. This has sort of occupied a bit of your time lately. Definitely a significant move for those athletes. Like they're affected by it and they're really disappointed by it. They lost their competition in the distances that they really enjoy. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't beck
but
me.
Surely if you do it for men, you do it for women though, don't you?
Like, that's right, like, yeah.
I get it if they said, hey, 60 plus across the board, you're all doing, we're cutting yous all from 10K to 8K. Or 50K across the board, we're cutting yous from half marathon to 5K or whatever the decision. I can't see why they just do it for women and not for men.
Mm. Yep, so that's worth bringing attention to. And the other one was the tan race. So we had a bit of a chat last week about how Stewie was awarded $7,000 for nearly breaking the record. So it was advertised before the day as if the record went, $7,000 would go to the record breaker. And we had a little chat about it. And you chatted with Lyndon during the week, didn't you, Brady? So you can sort of explain that.
Yeah, you want to do this, Brad, because you're better at reading stuff out than I am. But Lyndon did reach out and said, thanks for bringing it up. This is kind of what she's the communication she's had with the race.
Yeah, so hey guys, thanks for discussing the prize money discrepancy from the tan. If you wanted to know more, and then in brackets, if not, please ignore, I followed up with the organisers and the sponsor who had offered up the 7K for only Stewie's slash men's race. This is despite us all running in their advertising, etc. I've since been put in touch with the PR guy from Advanced Hair, who was the sponsor, who tells me it was a private deal with Stewie. Obviously, pretty crap move by the company, especially as the offer was used for event promotion, etc. Not a good look for the event at all. And she advises us that she won't be running a 5K anytime soon. And so I also found an article tonight where it was for the tan launch, which happened like a few days before, and Shane Warne presented Stewie with the 7K check there before the event had been run. You know, in anticipation of the record being broken. But at the end of the day, there was only one athlete that broke the course record. So that athlete, as far as I'm concerned, is the one that should have walked away with the most money from the day. So it's definitely not a great look. And what would have happened if some other guy rocked up and actually, like, it was very unlikely to happen. But what if Stewie got beaten and he still then gets a 7K check? I just feel like there's almost two things going on here that weren't that shouldn't have been connected, and maybe they should have just kept that 7K as a private thing behind closed doors. It hasn't looked very good for the event.
Shouldn't have got linked to the race, really. Linking it to the race meant that it seems like other people had a chance of winning it when they really had zero chance of winning it. Yeah. And then you introduced the whole, why is it only going to the men's record breaker, not the ladies as well? So like personal payments like that, shouldn't be associated with an event, or like, it just doesn't make sense.
And the fact that he'd been presented the check before the event, I could then sort of get if the women's record wasn't broken and Stewie came within 1 second of the record, they're like, all right, look, you came so close to the record, we're still going to give you the 7K. This is assuming that the women's record was like way off, you know, like not even close. But the fact that the women's record went down and the men's didn't, Lyndon should have been the one to have collected the most prize money from that event.
Because she still did get the $2,500 bonus from the event's record-breaking thing.
Yeah, but it's still less than what Stewie would have got.
Oh, significantly less. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Stewie would have got, what, 9,500, then Lyndon 5,000.
Yeah.
So thanks. A big thanks to Lyndon Hall for writing in that kind of information, which is good to hear it straight from her mouth. Or text. We're done, fellas. Anything coming up? Any races? I've got nothing in what's coming up this week.
Are there any races this week?
Not that I know of. There's probably some. Something will happen, so we'll talk about next week on the show. Sure, we've got some results to read through. Anything happen in your life, Croaks?
No, very quiet. Viv's off to Wagga for fashions.
Oh yeah,
Wagga. So I'm home alone for a day or two.
She'd clean up easy down there, wouldn't she? Wagga pretty easy.
I don't know. She went to Burrawa on the weekend and didn't win, so she was a bit disappointed.
Who judges these things?
Who judges these things, Viv? Just local celebrities.
How can you be Mrs. ACT but not win like a little country one?
You can't put your future in the hands of local influencers.
Well, this is what I've always said, though, about fashions on the field, and this is why I don't like it, is it's so subjective. If you don't, like, if you can't sort of accept the decision, then you should do something like running where it's quite more objective, unless they're giving out prize money for people that don't break records over people that do. Then it's not so objective. But anyway.
Yeah, not an example. Moose, what are you coming up?
Going to get through another week of training before I experience my new injury, whenever that comes on. I'm anticipating calf next.
Get a calf, man. Old man injury. See what happens.
Oh, it's fitting.
With the whole injury thing, I've been thinking about this. I reckon a lot of injuries happen when people have events that they've targeted. Because I have no doubt that if you weren't targeting Gold Coast right now, you'd probably be training differently.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be running as much on the Achilles, I guess.
Mm, yeah. So, and it's interesting that people like sort of push through hoping for an event rather than going, you know what, there's always an event to train for. I'm going to make sure my body's 100% first. Then, when it's right, then I target something.
The difference is that I have a training camp to go to. And so I kind of want to train while I'm away on the training camp. It would just be so depressing to go up to a training camp and not run. So if I wasn't going away, I would be running maybe a little less. But because I have like 6 weeks of like dedicated training time, this is one where I can run through and just see what happens.
When do you go away, Moose?
On the May 17th.
Oh, yeah. Was that 3 weeks? Just a bit over 3 weeks.
Two. Just a bit under two.
Two. Oh, yeah. 7 days in a week. Yeah, it's going to come around quick. And I'm sure I was going to ask you to tell us more about Ali's hamstring injury, but she'll talk about that on Road to Nowhere. I think they're coming out Wednesday, or maybe Thursday morning this week. They're running a bit late. And talking about them, we are going to throw to our 20 minutes with them, but it's them interviewing Brad Carterfelt. So they call someone different each week on their show. And sometimes it gets a bit messy when they try to talk over each other and all ask a question at the same time. You know exactly what I'm talking about when you hear a bit of this. But Brad Carterfelt, absolute legend of triathlon, who just ran 2:19 low a couple of weeks ago up at the Athletes Australia Sydney Marathon. And speaks really well. We're done, fellas. See you later.
See you guys.
Yeah, let's hope so. But someone who had a really good run is certain someone that was Joel's hero as a kid. We're calling Brad Carterfelt.
Hello.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing? Hey, guys. How you going?
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brad Carterfelt, the 2006 Com Games gold medalist and sub 220 marathoner. So that's super, super impressive run. You know Ellie, Brad?
No, we haven't met before.
I don't think I've met.
Okay, but have you ever heard of Joel Tobin White?
of course.
Oh, really? Oh, that surprises me. How are the legs, Brad, after a really good run?
Yeah, actually really stiff. I was going to get a massage today, but they're actually too stiff to get a massage. You know, you have to wait a few days. So maybe tomorrow's the day or the day after I can you know, finally get a massage and try and loosen them off because they are pretty stiff.
Yeah. So where are you sore?
Yeah, just the normal quads, hemis. There's that little hill, I think, took a fair bit out of my quads as well, kind of going down. And all the turns as well, the U-turns on the courses and a little chicane. So,
so there were chicanes. We just thought
Nick just said chicanes like 80 times before we called you.
Oh, there was plenty. Yeah.
So we were just saying, Brad, that my right leg is aching in different places from my left. And Ellie was like, oh, it's probably because of the turns, which I didn't think about until just now. So are you symmetrical, your aches and pains, or is it worse on one side?
Mine's all over the place. I've got one leg shorter, 2 centimetres actually, my right. So I'm all over the place.
So your right leg's 2 centimetres short?
Yeah, it is.
You'd
go
around one of the corners quicker, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because we were turning right. We were turning right, perfect. So that's why you're
turning left. Oh, you're flying.
That's an advantage, actually.
That chicane was left, so that was my long leg. So that's the reason why I probably could have quicker.
But so your target was 220, and you hit it on – I didn't think that was a quick course.
Yeah.
But because you ran so well, that's kind of annoyed me a bit for my excuses.
No, I had a pretty good lead in, even though we only got that, I think it was 7 weeks' notice, which was too short. But I kind of piggybacked on my my trail runs sort of through the, I just wanted a race, you know, through the summer. So I did Stromlo 30K and Two Bays down there just near Melbourne. As well, that was a 28K run, and
right.
Sandy Point a half marathon down in Melbourne, and then Canberra 10. So that was my race. You know, I kind of prepped quite well for those longer trail runs with some strength. So I kind of just added a few long runs to it, and it actually worked quite well. So I kind of was hoping for a 220, 221, but, you know, 219, I was wrapped with.
Yeah,
very happy.
So good. Did you win those races?
I won Stromlo 30K and Two Bays I won.
Nice.
Sandy Point, Dave Ridley got me. He ran 106, I ran 107. And Canberra, I was fourth in 34. 40 something, I think, on that course. So I was pretty happy with that.
Oh, so you're coming in with some good shape, yeah.
Yeah, are they all PBs for the half and the 10?
No, the 10K I've actually done PBs in triathlons in my prom.
Hang on.
Sure.
Oh, here we go. That conversation.
Oh, I can vouch for Bradley. We used to always race. It'd be like a few hundred meters long in our triathlons. I can vouch for that, definitely.
Sure. Brad, so was that 7-week announcement? Was that the first time you've heard about this?
Yeah, well, Michael Roger actually put a post on. It was around that time, and he sort of said, look, I'm prepping for a marathon in April. So I've sent him a message to say, what marathon are you going for, mate? Because I'm actually trying to find a race. You know, I'd love to do another marathon because my last marathon was in Lake Biwa with all you boys over there, and that was a long time ago. That was
absolutely.
That was 2 years. I was just looking for a race, and he sort of said, look, Athletes Australia are thinking about putting this event on. So I've tried to contact a number of people, but didn't really hear back from anyone. So I had no clue what was going on. Then finally they announced. So I was quite excited to do a race, but then just had no updates at all, as you know, Nick.
Yeah.
And I was very close to sort of pulling the pin because I didn't think the race was going to go ahead.
I think it was 2 weeks ago because when I heard Jess was out, I was like, well, is this even happening now? I mean, because it was like it was organized by a kind of work experience school kid. But then you get there on the day and it was super professional, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, Wayne Larden did a great job.
Larden did a great job. I just think they have to announce a lot earlier, you know, at least 12 weeks before and build it up. I think, you know, like the course there it was okay, but like it wasn't the quickest course, and it's pancake flat around there as well, so they can certainly work on that. But
was there any crowd or like no?
There,
crowd?
There was a few people came to watch.
Yeah, I think there was
a decent
come out.
there was
so it's just like a normal marathon then.
Yeah,
in Australia. I think it was about 30 people.
Yeah, Brad's I think the people who were there,
the spectators who were there really enjoyed it because they saw us, you know, every couple K essentially. Yeah. And we sort of went out, we come back, looped around, and they saw us again, and they could probably see three times a lap actually, I think, if they really wanted to. So I think in the future of Distance Running Australia, I think Athletics Australia or someone should really organise one, especially with you know, Olympics or Comm Games or World Champs selection. I think you can certainly build on that. So
definitely, yeah, the venue is perfect if we did loops as well, like they were originally planning.
Yeah,
like, couldn't have got better conditions. What's that?
You can actually do a nice 5K loop around the water. I've raced a number of times in triathlon around there, and it's a really nice course. It's flat and quite fast. So yeah,
hopefully. It's just such a good run from you. So you must be hopeful of like 2:16 or something, like 2:17 in the next like year or two.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm 41 and retired from triathlon. I've got a business or a couple of businesses now, and my wife's a professional triathlete still, and we got two kids and stuff. So I'm pretty busy. I just sort of did it as a bit of a, like, I just love running. You know, I grew up as a runner. I went to duathlon because I couldn't swim to save myself, and I chose the sport of triathlon because, you know, I love competing, and it was a challenge for me, and then made a living off the sport for over 20 years. So I actually retired a couple of years ago and you know, come back to running. So it's kind of gone full circle. I absolutely love it. I love running marathons. And now I don't do it for money. Now it's just pure enjoyment and getting out there early in the morning before work and smash myself for a bit. And, that's all I got really these days, is about an hour a day, sort of an hour and a half max to do my thing and then go to work. So I love it. I will pick out other events. You know, what those events are, I'm not sure. But you'd certainly love to do another marathon. I'd love to do a Gold Coast half maybe as well. So whatever's out there, I'll love to have a crack.
I was never good enough to race you in a half. So I can race you in a half.
What's that, Joel?
Sorry, I said I was never good enough to race you in a triathlon, so now we can race each other in a half at Gold Coast. Mate, that'd be good.
Smash me. what's your PB, Joel?
62.03.
62 in Japan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Joel, would you describe yourself as a retired triathlete?
definitely not. To be retired, you had to have like a massive career. Mine was definitely quit. Silently quit and move to another sport.
Yeah,
so well, I certainly wouldn't call it retired. Yeah, well.
When are you stepping up, Joel, to the marathon?
Sydney. So I don't know if I think I announced that like last week on the show. Did I say that, Nick?
Yeah.
Not that Brad listens to the show, but I mean
which race? Yeah.
Sydney Marathon on September 17th.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good course, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, which not it's super excited about, but that's the one my coach is throwing me in. So,
yeah, nice.
Might not TV, be a super fast it? Debut.
Because it's on live TV, Joel.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's going to be, it's a gold label. Gold Coast is a gold label as well, but Gold Coast is just a little bit too soon, I suppose, for me.
We actually found out last week, Brad, he's already done a marathon. He just pretended to us that he never had. Right. He
did. One of those ones. Making my debut, but you've already done a couple on the side.
Yeah. So you get DNFing like with like 10 meters to go, and that's not my debut.
They're being dickheads. It was a pace job, you idiots.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, did you see Jared Clipper's pace job, Joel?
He's way tougher than I am.
Yeah, that was definitely an amazing run. It really was.
He's tougher than all of us.
On the grass, passed out, and all of a sudden I looked back and he's charging past me.
Was he lying down, Brad?
He was because I was just behind you boys at that point. It was coming, I think it was 35 or 36K, and he was almost passed out on the grass. And then I hear footsteps behind me coming over the bridge, and it was Jared chasing me down. So I couldn't believe what was going on. But
yeah,
he looked really good most of the run, didn't he? He was
chatting away. He was like not taking on any gels or fluids. It was unbelievable. And he'd done the tan the day before.
I know.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Crazy.
Yeah. 2:19.08. such a good, oh, such yeah, a tough.
Maybe that's his distance now.
Well, I mean, he just missed out on nationals, like 1500 final by like, you know, by hardly anything. And then a week later, he's running a marathon. Oh,
pretty good range,
very
isn't it?
Impressive. Yeah, that's very impressive.
Super good. Anyway, Brad, so what makes a good triathlete versus a shit one, Joel? Is it just the what's the difference? Like, because you're both good runners, like, so are you just better at the swim or something? Or is it the swim that kills you?
Is that a question?
Yeah, what was that?
It
was a loaded question, but yeah,
was
the swim your weak point, Brad and Joel? Like, I know nothing about this stuff.
I started off swimming like a runner. Like I jumped in as a crowbar and pretty much sunk to the bottom. I was terrible. So I swam a lot. Like I wanted to make it as a triathlete, and I was quite desperate to make it. You know, I really wanted that as my job for a while. So I was swimming, it was up to 80 kilometers every week in order to get my swim up to that main pack or the front group. I was minutes behind. I was probably 5 minutes behind as a junior. So that's the reason why I was doing the sport of duathlon, which is run, ride, run. But obviously duathlon isn't in the Olympics. It's not in the Com Games. It's not as big a sport as triathlon. So I spent a number of years swimming huge kilometres. You know, I was swimming with shoes on. I was swimming with board shorts on. And I had a eccentric coach at the time, and he's just made me swim with band on, like where you tie your ankles together and just swim like 100-100, stuff like that all the time. I was doing that pretty much every second day. Finally, after a couple of years, my swim, you know, was strong enough to be able to get out with the main contenders. And then my bike was strong at the time, and my run was quite strong. And I won my under-23 world championship in Cancun in 02, and then went from there. So I don't know, like it just took a long time to get the swim right, because it's obviously a lot of technique. And
I think the answer, Brad, is I didn't want it as bad as you based on that 80k a week.
Joel doesn't even run 80k's a week.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I didn't do 80k every week, but I certainly most weeks I would do like a 10k swim set, which I look back now crazy because I don't actually swim. And now I just kind of run, and that's about
it. How long does that take?
10k.
Swim set, yeah.
Oh, look, I was swimming, it's probably for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you're still riding. You might do a long ride that afternoon or that morning or something, but that was kind of my full-time job at the time as well. So I had a lot of recovery time in between, and I just was desperate to make it. Like I knew I had to do it because I was a shit swimmer. Like I was terrible. Like I'd get minutes behind, and if you're minutes behind the best guys, and it's game over from the start. You know, you're chasing the bike, and you can't use your run leg because you're that far back. It doesn't really matter if you get off and run a 14:30 for five or a 29:10. You're too far back. You can't use it. So.
Did you think about being a runner before you went into
track? Yeah, I thought about being a runner. Yeah, like I don't know. I just enjoyed the bike as well, and I just enjoyed training for all three. But like I'm a huge fan of running. I remember waking up when I was young and watching, you know, Di Castella and Monaghetti, and even following Mottram and stuff like that. I love running, and I'm just glad to be running at the moment. And you know, it's just for fun now. As I said, it's just a hobby runner and trying to chip away at my PB at the marathon and half or whatever now. So yeah.
Yeah, great.
There you go.
So I'm
pretty fast hobby runner.
Hang on quickly, just Joel, how much did you swim a week when you were a triathlete?
I never swam. I just went on the did it on the race. Didn't train.
You tried in the bath. You practiced in the bath.
I think 30k a week. Yeah, five k swims. That was sort of 25 to 30k was like.
That's pretty standard, I think, for most. Yeah, around that, and that's what I sort of reverted back to really once I got my swim up. You know,
that's like, the thing. You probably got it. Well, you got it up there, and then you could maintain it with that. Yeah. Whereas, you know, coming from Melbourne. You know, all the Queenslanders can swim. It's just what they do. Whereas I did grow up swimming for a little bit, and then I had probably 10 years out of swimming when I was just running. And I yeah, I still remember my mum saying when I was like, I don't want to do fucking swim school anymore. I hate it. And she's like, well, you know, she'd done a couple of triathlons and she's like, if you ever want to do triathlon, it would help to stay swimming. And I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do triathlon for? I'm a runner. And yeah, that's why I was never ever as successful as Brad doing the sport. So that not and even, not 5,000 even other close. Reasons. Not even close.
So how is your bike then, Joel? Like, because obviously Brad's bike was kind of up there with the elites.
Yeah, Brad. Yeah, well, we race draft legal, so I never really got dropped on the bike.
Oh, and okay. That's why the swim's so important, right?
The swim is so important, yeah. Swim's I was pretty strong on the bike, but not like certainly, you know, I wasn't Brad strong on the bike. I was just a runner. I was a runner that would just occasionally go well in, you know, a couple of triathlons. But, you know, Brad was racing on the World Tri Series. I never even did a single race in that. You know, Brad wasn't just racing. How many World Tri Series races did you win?
World Cups are one to 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Podium probably, not sure, 25, 30 times that was the ITU World Cup circuit.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's pretty damn solid. So basically, like, if you're a good swimmer and a good runner, like, when it's draft legal, then you're kind of, yeah.
You still have to be strong on your bike, but being strong on the bike is the easiest. If you ride lots, you're going to get strong.
So. Yeah. I think, you know, guys like the Brownleys, which you, Nick, you'd probably heard of.
Oh, I know all about them. Yeah,
those guys certainly changed the game. Like, those guys swam at the front. They got on the bike and absolutely pushed that hard. That was
crazy. Everyone.
And the courses actually got quite tough. You know, like, some of these courses, the ITU made even tougher. So you were drafting, but still, you know, you finishing a ride with, you know, 300 watts or something, you just pushing.
Yeah. The sport would get
off with tired legs, so they kind of changed the courses a lot to make the races more interesting.
Well, like hillier courses? Cool.
Quite hilly, quite technical, dead turns, multiple loops. Like, there wouldn't be a course where I did probably, there wouldn't be over 5K a lap on the bike. There's multiple turns and corners, and just makes it more exciting, I think. So,
yeah. Because on the TV, 40K gets a bit. It's a bit dead, but I remember them saying, like, Peter Robinson was sort of my my mentor growing up, and he's 3-time world champion back in what he was the you know he would have been probably yeah, you in the middle of us two, I suppose in terms of time of doing the sport. Like, I was sort of he would have been retiring as you were getting really good. Is that right? Would that be
I went up against Robbo a lot.
You did, okay.
Duels, especially Com Games and a few.
Oh, that's right. You got fed at Com Games, too. I forgot about
which. He had a lot of rooms on tour as well. He's got some good stories and oozing talent, that bloke. So it was really good to share rooms with him and spend a bit of time with him.
Yeah, he was great. He used to tell me on these camps, he's like, Joel, you were just doing triathlon at the wrong time. He's like, you're not that bad of a swimmer. Like, he said that my swim is even better than his swim. And he's like, but when I'm racing, you know, French Grand Prix against the Brownleys, it's like, it doesn't matter. You know, and the French guys swim, like, they swim 15 minutes from 1500, you know, a couple of those French guys. And it's like,
really quick.
Yeah. I've got a question, Brad. I told these guys last week, I think, or a couple of weeks ago, when we I don't know how it came up, but I said when I was a runner, I was sort of just transitioning into triathlon. I didn't know much about the sport, and we had the athlete like going on the national junior trips in Victoria. You had the little booklet, and you'd have to fill out your athlete profile, and it said, who's your favorite triathlete? And I was like, fuck, I don't know any of the good triathletes. And I like looked, I Googled like best Australian triathletes and Brad Carlfell. I'm like, yeah, perfect. Fucking Brad Carlfell. And I guess my question is, when you were like racing at the top of the world series and Olympics and all that, was there ever a favorite junior triathlete that you guys had to fill out in your profile? And was it Joel Tobin White?
Junior triathlete. No.
He still doesn't know who you are today,
John. Sorry, I've had that one in the bank all episode.
I didn't know if we could tease you or not about you running Brad as your hero in the book. I thought you might get too embarrassed.
No way.
So Brad, is it embarrassing when you get kids with like your poster on their walls? Is that embarrassing?
Posters, that's a long time ago. I don't really get posters now, but
yeah, but like the knowledge of like Joel have your
I'm taking mine down, Brad. That's it. The end of an era, they're coming off.
Yeah, it's been up there for 15 years.
Thank you very much.
So did you ever, well, we won't take up too much more of your time, Brad, but did you ever want to do an Ironman, or did you do one?
I did. Yeah. Yep. So after London, I switched over to long course, which is kind of cool. You can extend your career out by doing that. So after London 2012, I went to, it's called 70.3 distance, which is half Ironman, non-drafting. So I did a lot more cycling, and that's obviously time trial. And then after, I think it was 2015, I think I did Melbourne Ironman. And made my debut there and finished third. That was the Asia Pacific Champs in 809. So, and then I did probably all up, I did sort of four or five Ironman distance events.
Did you do Hawaii? Hawaii is the big one, right?
Yeah. I did Kona. Didn't go that well, to be honest. I liked the distance. Didn't love it as much as I did the ITU stuff. And I was sort of coming towards the end of my career, so I kind of, you know, I was thinking what else, you know, after a number of years of doing Ironman, what else I can do, because obviously, you know, coming to the end of your career as a professional athlete, you have to start thinking about the next chapter, and that's always a difficult decision, and it's a tough time. And I don't know, like I did the Ironman, I enjoyed some races, and certainly I did Challenge Roth as well, which is a huge one over in Germany. And really enjoyed that. And
is that the one with the big hill and all the people?
Yeah,
crowd on the hill.
It's an amazing race, that one. It kind of felt like you're racing sort of short course. I absolutely love racing in Germany. Like I used to race in, you know, the ITU Hamburg. I think I raced there like 10 times in a row. I absolutely love the place because the German fans are just, they're just huge fans of the sport, and they love the athletes, and it's
like Hamburg. Brad, is that famous finish, sprint finish picture, was that at Hamburg? One where you all fought to you, sprints, Simon and Whitfield.
Was that your poster?
No.
that was Des Moines in Iowa in the US. So it was a huge race. It was 200,000 US for the prize money, the first place. And there was six guys that were sprinting for the line. And
yeah, Summer it was Whitfield, a famous photo. It's great.
Oh, that's cool.
Champion, yeah, beat us all. He was sort of outsmarted us, and he had too much power at the end. And
was he second. Canadian?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Was it 200 grand for that? I remember that. That's crazy.
There's 200, US with a Hummer as well. So the Hummer sponsored the race. And,
wow.
There was six of us sprinting for that. So I think I might have went too early, and then they all gathered and come into the straight. It was sort of Whitfield who really opened up, and I sort of snuck in second, and Jan Frodeno was third, and Gomez was just behind us and stuff like that. So it was pretty
good.
Really
good scalps.
Yeah. What was second prize?
50,000 US.
Oh, so that's a big drop off.
it was a big drop off, but I sort of look at it, I was pretty happy. That was my biggest win, you know, prize money win at that point in time. It was a big win still. So there's some guys that were in the sprint who ended up with probably 10. So you kind of have to look at the positive, even though you wanted to win. But Whitfield was just too good on the day.
Yeah, wow.
Because do you have people that you train with, Brad?
Now?
Yeah.
No, I train with my brother a little bit. He's sort of a 238, 239 runner. I've got a couple of brothers and another brother's around the 240 mark. But I train mostly runners by myself, pretty much all my sessions by myself, really. We do try and meet up once a week with my brother and that for a fartlek. But, yeah, everything else is just by myself. So.
Yeah, nice. You're getting fit from that, though. Bloody hell.
Yeah, I've actually lowered my, weekly mileage. Like before Lake Beerware, I was up, you know, around the 140, 150, but I've actually reduced it quite a lot, actually, sort of down to, it's on Strava, but I think it's around the 110 mark. And actually feeling a bit better, and I don't know, it's a bit strange, but I didn't really have much time.
Do you riding or swimming as well, or
no, I don't. No, not at the moment.
Get rid of all that dumb stuff.
110. There you go, Joel. Yeah. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
he's got a lot of mileage in the bank, though. To be fair,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Bothered myself for so long, and. I don't know, like once you get over 40, I think you've got to be really smart how you train, because you can break down so easy. And I've had a lot of injuries through my career. I've had stress fractures and hip operations and pneumonia 3 times. And it's just, you kind of really, you learn from those mistakes, like pushing your body too hard. And I've pushed my body hard for a long time. So just now, just getting to the start line, you might be 98% right. But instead of, you know, being 110 and you know, away, well, not even on the start line, injured. So I've sort of learnt from my mistakes of pushing too hard, but just listen to your body, I think. I don't know.
Well, some wise words.
Great.
You there, Brad. Yeah, and congratulations again for sub-220. Like, I mean, you knocked four minutes off your B-word time. I added 4 minutes to my B-word time. So we're going to meet in the middle, I think.
No, it's good to have you there, Nick. Running behind you, mate. You're looking good.
Oh, I wasn't feeling good. At least I was
looking
good.
Did he have the Earl shorts on?
Nah, they got stolen, Ellie.
Oh, did that? Yeah. I stole them and burnt them.
Oh, I knew it. Anyway, thanks for that, Brad. I think we'll let you go now and we'll get on to finishing up the show.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Yeah, thank you. Brad. Well done again.
The races.
Run.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you later.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks to this week's episode sponsor, Mizuno. I hope you enjoyed our review on the all-new Mizuno Wave Rider 25. Mizuno have packed in a heap of exciting updates to their running range lately, so to check them out, visit mizuno.com.au or you can find them at selected stores.